WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, ahoy, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 410 of BRB UK. That's right, we're 90 away from 500, which is quite possibly one of the longest and most tedious countdowns you will ever be witness to on the internet. My name is Dan, I am one of your hosts. I'm joined, as ever, by the very shiny coal man. Say hello, shiny coal man.
Hi, am I that shiny today?
Well, I don't know. Is a vague Pokemon reference in there? I don't know.
Voltorb, maybe?
Yeah, I know.
He's
I thought
basically
shiny
a big
Pokemans.
Ball.
I thought you were going with Pokeball, but you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, not so much Pokeball, but a Pokebell end, it's Tim Hibbs. We've spent the past 15 minutes trying to recover. Try and recover Tim having dropkick his microphone across his room.
Yeah.
So if Tim sounds terrible,
not so good.
Yeah. So if Tim sounds terrible this week, you have our apologies. But do remember, it's all his fault. Yeah.
He's recording on his internal microphone, which it normally would be a problem, but it actually turns out Tim had been doing this for months and we hadn't noticed.
So it should be okay.
We might be okay.
Fun for me.
We get back to the snowball and then it dies. Although that snowball has served me well. It's done me proud.
Since I mean, to be fair, I don't think there's one other bit of technology that survived as long in your flat as that. Seriously, just electronics die in your house.
You keep saying this, but not entirely.
All right,
sure
let's go through.
Oh, wait, Tim, you're lagging a bit.
Xbox
Hold on, Tim. Let me just sort out your broadband connection. One sec.
I didn't know it was as advanced as that.
Yeah.
I thought it was. I'm just amazed at the bandwidth we're getting over Tim's internet that is a bean can and a bit of string.
Well, to be fair, I also forgot to plug the internet in for a few weeks over the last few weeks as well. So we've been running over Wi-Fi. So it's a good thing my Wi-Fi runs properly again. So
there's so much wrong with that statement, Tim. I'm not even going to attempt to disassemble it. All I'm going to say is my inner. Okay. You had wide area internet. You just didn't have local area internet wired in. You still had internet.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Lovely. So this has been Tech Hour with Tim Hibbs. Jesus. Seriously. It's a good job. You know, me and Coleman, we could make a mint charging you by the hour for tech support.
I think the amount of times that you have tech problems compared to the amount of times I have tech problems compared to the amount of times you talk about my tech problems is, slightly...
No, that is some Boris Johnson level nonsense right there. I think I'm fine. Compared to when I had a thing and there was another thing.
I forgot to plug in the blasted internet and now it's running off the whiff-waff.
Bloody whiff-waff. It's whiff-waff 5G, though. It's quite all right. But anyway, so I was carrier pigeons.
Oh, I don't want to use 5G. It'll give you coronavirus.
Hey, look, you know, it turns out not a hoax, apparently, this week, on Donald Trump.
If I'd, if I could just offer one bit of tech advice for you, Tim.
Yes.
You might need to buy a new microphone, which does mean...
That I need to do.
Does mean more money.
No, yes. No. But hey, this one you can genuinely call an investment.
An investment in how to lose more of my time. Yes.
You can only really call it investment if he makes money off the podcast, which if we take the total amount...
Due to our unique mix of business skills here at BRB.
Yeah, if we chalk up the amount of money that we've made off this podcast, I think we're owed a lot of money.
Yes.
Especially Coleman.
Yep. Indeed. So it's been a little bit of a quiet week of news this week. Although in true BRB UK fashion, there's a fairly major PC related announcement that's imminently about to go down that we'll have to talk about next week. AMD, who are supplying the processors to the next gen Xbox and PlayStation, are about to announce their new line of PC CPUs, which, if the rumors are to be believed, flipping fast and flipping cheap. So that's a whole lot of flipping good news.
Definitely flipping boring.
If really? I could give another bit of PC news as well, MSI, MSI on their Twitter account accidentally tweeted at a fursona today.
They did what?
They accidentally tweeted a fursona today saying that they're cute.
Really? Oops. Well, also MSI have just been caught scalping their own cards on eBay.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So basically what happens, as we all know, the kind of latest gen of NVIDIA cards are very scarce. People are making, naughty scalpers are making big, horrible amounts of dosh off the reselling of them. And MSI being obviously saying, look, we've got no supply. No normal retailer has been getting stock. Turns out that actually their own eBay store, well, it's not MSI as a company owned by MSI and all the board members are the same. Mm. Who are meant to just sell on refurbished stock were selling on brand new RTX 3080s and 3090s at nearly twice the RRP.
Oh, wow.
In MSI's defense, they have walked it back and said, look, well, you know, send the car back and get a full refund or we will give you the difference from the RRP.
Who'd use MSI, eh?
That is a bit of a big, bad oopsie. Yes. How's that MSI stuff working out for you, Coleman?
It's all right, actually. Yeah? Yeah, I just bought a new graphics card on eBay.
Did you? Lovely. I think I got... How much it cost you? 15 million quid.
A left kidney.
Nice. I hear they're very popular.
Yeah, and all I had to do was throw my parents out in the streets. Should we talk about PlayStation?
Hey, let's talk about PlayStation.
Because a lot of people, they've been wanting the PlayStation specs. They've been wondering what the... They want more details. They want to know what the interface looks like. They want to know what the backwards compatibility...
They want to know
how the VR works, Dan. They want to know all this information.
I want to see its filthy
Lots
guts.
Lots of things to know.
And that's what you get, because instead they went, nah, Sodja, we're just going to murder a PlayStation on camera and show it to you on YouTube.
I kind of quite like it when they do, because they did it with the PS4 as well, didn't they? They did a teardown just before.
Yeah.
I kind of quite like the kind of tech gore that you see. Although it's always a little bit sanitized when someone who knows how it was put together just does the process backwards. Because then you don't see like the Dremel tools coming out or the hot air guns. But man, either the PlayStation 5 is flipping massive or they got a flipping tiny person to disassemble it. I don't know which way round it is, frankly.
Could be a bit of both, but I think it's mainly massive.
That you, Dan, that Yoshiari Otari is close, small, and that one is far away.
Look, it's a 2D representation. I had no depth information, all right? Before you start trying to get clever with me.
It's a very big console, and props to, I believe it was GameSpot, who decided to Photoshop the console even bigger and put it out like it was the official image. That was that tickled me
a bit.
That's
why you've got to have those badges on your Instagram post, let you know it's been doctored in post. Yeah. They're trying to make their PS5 look extra thick. That's thick with two C's because I'm cool.
So... Dan, as our resident man who likes to talk about tech way too much, what are your feelings on this breakdown so far?
Well, they took that to bits, didn't they?
They did.
Look, it's a very modular system. Interesting points for me were that obviously the side panels appear easily detachable, which I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to be able to get custom side panels either first party from Sony or indeed from favorite electronic retailers from around the globe.
Or things like Etsy and stuff. I'm pretty sure you'll be able to buy some custom spray paint jobs and stuff, as tend to happen.
Exactly.
If you want a black PlayStation, there's your option.
Yeah. The one thing you won't be able to do, though, is run it probably with the sides off. That's not because... I mean, it would turn on, but I think the system would get very warm. And that's somewhat... That's often a bit of a kind of a... It seems a bit of a non sequitur to some people, but it looks like actually to get that directly airflow to where it needs to be, the sides need to be on it anyway. So you can't just leave it open to the air. It would actually run warmer without the sides on, I would believe. So they look like you have to keep them in place. It's a big old console. Interesting points. Two fans, by the looks of things, so that thing's going to run super toasty.
One either side,
and it looks like you can just whack a standard M2 SSD. So those are like the ones you see in laptops that look like a stick of gum You could also store a stick of gum in your PlayStation 5 if you like warm gum.
Ooh, good plan.
So if you like tepid spearmint gum, the PlayStation 5 is the console for you.
I always find my Wrigley's is way too cold sometimes, so that's really handy for me.
Yeah, mate, I live to serve, what can I say?
I don't know if you saw, though, Xbox did kind of troll them on that, though. That they put up a little gif of, like, how you upgrade the memory on the Xbox Series X compared to the PlayStation, and it's just like, plug it into the back.
Although, the
screwdriver's undoing things at, you know,
although
stage
those
three.
Proprietary Xbox, I don't think we've seen confirmed pricing for those.
No, they do
modules.
Look expensive.
I think they're going to be well north of £200.
Yeah, they look around about £200-something. The other thing, Nintendo, the other thing Xbox did, and they're obviously poking fun at when Sony got the upper hand when they went, hey, if you want to play the Xbox games, then you're going to have to go through all this rigmarole. And then PlayStation went, here's how you get to play PlayStation games or use PlayStation games. And they just handed one to another, you know, that kind of thing. They're doing that this time with Xbox, and they put out a video when they were kind of mocking the stand that you have to screw in, and they went, here's how you can turn your Xbox sideways, and they just show it like that and then put it to the side. They've since deleted that tweet, so I'm assuming it didn't go out down too well.
Or they've noticed something with the early manufacturing units that perhaps the thermals don't work quite so well would be the funny thing if that was
that
the
would
case.
Be.
Can you imagine if someone came out and went, oh, no, don't do that with the console. No, that's really bad. Don't tell people to do that.
I'm stealing this one from our friend Diarmid from Twitter, but he noted that it would look very nice, the Xbox on its side, had because there's the bottom circular stand that is attached to the console and doesn't remove. So when you put it on your side, you could just see the stand on the bottom, on the side. Yes.
And also, when it's stared up right way up, you can also see the little rubber feet that are meant to be facing down when you put it on the side. So
there
you
go.
Yeah, it's not a good look. But I mean, although just coming back to that, yes, the process is really easy for adding to your storage capacity on it on the Xbox X. It is a little more complicated for the PS5. But you are able to use non-proprietary components to do so.
Which should keep the cost down.
Yeah, and that will, you know, probably if you can buy any old, you know, M2 drive, you can get them a lot cheaper than the proprietary thing. However, it might not run as quickly as the super sexy drive plugging in, because there's obviously going to be variants and components and stuff.
But do you have to hire a small Japanese man to dismantle it for you?
You can hire any person of any background of any size, Tim.
Good. Okay. Just wasn't sure if it specifically had to be a small Japanese.
You, on the other hand, I would get a responsible adult to do it for you.
That's a good idea. I do have a more serious question, though, Mr.
Oh,
Dan.
Oh, God, yeah.
For your tech brain.
Uh-huh.
How do microphones work?
No, what's the difference in the two USB ports, and why aren't they all the same type of USB? Why is one of them different?
Because you've only... I don't know how... So on the computer, kind of USB generally goes via the PCI bus, and then...
Oh, in fact, they're all a bit different. No, the two on the back are different to the two...
Well, it's all due to the amount of internal bandwidth that can be allocated to it, for want of a better way of putting it. So in order to keep everything else running at the speed they want, they've presumably just sacrificed a little bit of bandwidth from
some of the
USB ports.
Whoa, you're going at a million miles an hour here, Dan. Go dumb it down.
Okay, all right, Tim. Imagine it's a river, okay? It's a river.
No, but what's the difference between USB-C and USB-A? And
so
why
USB-C
is one of them
is,
with...
USB-C is the new plug that you see.
Yeah.
So that's like the one that can be put in either way up. USB-A is like the old school USB.
And then three of them have got super speed.
Yep.
And one USB of them's 3. Got the high-speed data transfer?
That will be the USB-C, probably.
That's the USB-A.
Let's have a look.
USB type A port with
yeah,
high speed
so
data.
The USB A speed at 10 seconds.
And then two USB A ports on the back, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's fine. So, I mean, yeah, and there's a
I don't
couple
understand
things.
Why they'd be different. Why wouldn't they be all the same?
Component costs, if there's not enough. Okay, if you put all their canoes together, Tim, all right, put all their canoes together, they might be too wide for the
VR
river.
Related. That's one of my things, one of the points of the question.
It's having two round the back with 10 gigabits a second of bandwidth, you are going to be fine.
They,
with yeah. VR.
They usually put on, especially with computing, it's usually the USB-C at the front because that's the thing that you're directly connecting a controller charge or you're connecting a memory stick or whatever. Around the back, it tends to be that's more for like bus power. Mm. So that's why you're...
Yeah, but that's why I find it's weird there's a different one on the front.
Yeah, because that might just be if you're plugging in a USB drive or you're wanting to charge a standard USB device and it's more about power delivery or... low volume data transfer than shoving stuff up the river really quickly.
Up the river.
All right.
Everyone seems to be obsessed with the secret nut. There is a nut that wasn't removed, and they're wondering what that is.
You've got to be careful
for.
Of the secret nut.
Well, you've got to be worried saying nut that, around PlayStation.
That's why you put the condom on first.
It kind of harkens back to the weird PlayStation Portable squirrel advert, if you remember that.
What?
He's what? Like,
okay.
What?
Nut.
No, remember that.
That's a bit of a stretch, no?
You know, remember the PSP nut advert? He's like, was it come out and play? I can't. I'm playing nut. And then you go, PlayStation Portable. It's like a nut you can take outside.
You can take nuts outside.
I know, but it was a PlayStation Portable advert. And PlayStation make weird adverts sometimes. Anyway.
Okay, but still, that's a bit of a stretch.
There's a nut.
A bit of a reach.
A bolt, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
The other good thing they're just moving swiftly on. I mean, clearly one of the major problems that I think all PS4 owners have noted is that as time goes on, their PS4 sounds increasingly like it's going to take off.
Mm-hmm. Let's stop that, please.
And that is basically due to dust getting lodged not only in the fan but in the heatsink inside the system as well. And one good design decision they have made is to have removable and cleanable dust filters around the inside of the system.
Vacuumable as well.
Yes, vacuumable. So that
good word.
Is a good design choice because it will keep PS5s cooler and quieter.
Yeah, and apparently that's the reason for such a large size console as well, is to make it run quieter and run cooler as well. And yeah, everything is thought out. Go on.
I was going to say, we're taking the mickey out of it being big. Do any of us really care? Like, I might find difficulty fitting it into the normal sort of slots that I have my consoles in, but I think I've got enough room to house it next to my TV, and I think it'll be okay. It is huge, though.
Yeah, I've attached my TV to the wall now. So now, specifically for this, when they announced the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox One Series X, I looked at those and went, those look really big. I don't know if they're going to fit in the cabinet, so I'm going to have to clear space under the TV to stand them up just in case. So I think I should be all right. But yeah, TV on
both
the wall.
Both of them are pretty huge, but the PlayStation 5 is ginormous.
It is.
I'm still not a massive fan of the design of it, but if those side panels can pop on and off, there's presumably going to be quite a market for kind of console customization, not only in terms of the color of those panels, but maybe the design of those panels. People will be able to do things that makes it look different and stuff.
And I'm interested to see what it's actually like when I get my hands on, but at the moment I keep on flip-flopping on whether I really quite like it.
That's how you break your microphone.
Really don't. But
I like the look of both of them. I really do. And if it wasn't for the fact that the Xbox... if it wasn't for the fact that Xbox is a service now, basically, there's a console and Game Pass and everything's going to come out day and date on Game Pass as well as the console. If it wasn't for that, I'd probably go for the Xbox over the PlayStation at this point. However, I have a girlfriend that all her favourite games are PlayStation exclusives, so we're going to have to go for PlayStation, I reckon.
I mean, your girlfriend has good taste apart from, you know, the obvious, but yeah.
Mm. But yeah, I have no allegiance
wow,
to...
Wow, Jesus, Tim, that was...
That is a bit... got me on that. I have no allegiance
Paul, man, you better go to the hospital because that is a sick third degree burn sick, you have right there.
Obviously a joke, anyway.
Burn. Sick burn alert.
I have no allegiance to what console manufacturer go for. I tend to pick them all up down the road. It's just whatever I go for first. Usually it depends on price and what's available at the time of release. But yeah, it'll be a PlayStation and then an Xbox down the line, I guess.
I mean, out the two of them, I mean, obviously, a lot of the Xbox goodies in terms of first-party stuff it tends to come to PC these days anyway, which just that would make me go probably lean towards more the PS5 if I were to pick one up. But I don't know, there's just something compelling about the Xbox offering at the moment that just seems like a really good package to have.
Well, that's why as a console gamer myself, you guys have both got the option of the PC, but I don't. That's why I picked myself up an S. Like, even though I probably shouldn't stretch to that while I'm buying a PS5. Like,
hey, look, they're both investments, mate.
Not really. But yeah, like, I don't know. It's something where it's too an attractive a bundle for me to not sort of get involved in that. And if it means I can move my Xbox One into my room as well, that means I've got access to Xbox wherever I'm going as well. So, like, that's, yeah, a reasonably attractive package kind of thing. So,
yeah, imagine that. Xbox package. Wherever you're going.
How will that work?
I haven't seen a package that attractive since Coleman accidentally sent me that picture of him in those Speedos.
But, yeah, I don't know, like, did this make you more or less excited for the PS5, though? Generally,
neither.
To be honest, it was interesting to see.
Yeah, but it didn't really do much for yay, PS5 kind of thing, you know?
I mean, no gentleman veg were enticed to move in response to it, if that's the question you're going for.
Bit more information than I was really after, Dan, to be honest.
It's all right, mate. It's fine.
All this shows me is if my PlayStation breaks and I get really annoyed with it, what it's going to look like.
Yeah. Although, Tim, on the bright side, if it does fall off something, as has been known to happen in your flat, at least the side bits look relatively easily replaceable. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's a layer of Tim-proofing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see those 3D printed soon enough.
Yep.
Yeah, PlayStation.
Yep. So that is the PlayStation 5. Other nerdy bits, the memory in it's really fast. It's got an AMD Ryzen Zen 2 CPU.
Ooh,
and
my favorite.
AMD GPU in it. It's super fast on the inside, has PCIe 4, and somehow all runs on a 350-watt power supply, which is very impressive if you consider the computing throughput this has is, you know, akin to a pretty good medium spec PC with, admittedly, now probably the last generation GPU from NVIDIA in kind of raw grunt terms. But you probably need a 650-watt power supply to keep that going full whack safely. The fact they're able to deliver this at 350 watts is really impressive.
What?
Whenever you say wattage, I want you to say it in the 21 gigawatts kind of... Is it 21 gigawatts? However many gigawatts it 1. Was.
1.21 gigawatts.
Yeah. Maybe, Tim. We'll see.
Okay.
You've threatened to talk nonsense about things later on in the agenda if me and Colm don't vamp for time, which is basically the whole reason that we're just making talk
no,
about
I had
everything.
Already
at excruciating
agreed
length.
To move that to next week anyway. No,
we're fine.
We're fine.
Shall we leave news now?
Because that was leave it. News. The news is old.
Old news.
Done.
We'll add one thing that everyone's talking about at the moment. It's not really a huge benefit for us. But so you may have seen the Xboxes are going out to influencers and celebrities and all kind of things everywhere. And
I haven't got one yet. I feel very upset.
Yeah, me neither. And the PlayStations are going out to Japanese influencers, it seems. And from what people have noted from that is the X and Circle, which is usually X is confirm here and Circle is cancel, And then in Japan, it's the other way around. Apparently, they've now switched that in Japan and they're universal with the rest of the world. So X is confirmed, Yay. Circle is cancelled to everyone.
Yay.
Yay.
Not sure they'll like that very much, but yay.
I really don't mind or care. And it makes things like Metal Gear Solid back in the 90s be less confusing.
Yes. Yeah, because they just didn't localize the way they switched around.
I can't start the game. I'll keep hitting X. I'm stuck on the menu.
Metal Gear. Oh, no. I'm going to hit circle.
Which button do I press? If I press the circle, babe.
I'm going to read your mind. So, you like Azure Dreams?
Liquid.
Oh, my God. That's enough of that. Games that we done did done played with Dan.
Yeah.
Though we didn't done play them together. We done did play the same game.
I done did play it on the PC because the reason I done did play
that's
it on
okay.
the PC.
That's okay. We can still play together.
It's cross play. It's cross done did play. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have no excuse.
Yes, we should do that.
Because I picked up because I didn't cancel my EA Play Pro subscription in time.
Good plan, man.
That I'm now down for another year of that try. So,
well, we're talking about Star Wars Squadron, and I too went for the EA trial. Even though, if you looked at my Twitter, I was quite annoyed on the day because when everyone was going, "Yeah, playing some Star Wars Squadron, getting it loaded up," I went, "Oh, it's not an EA Play," and I just subscribed to EA Play just to do this trial, 10-hour trial, and then. I couldn't find anything anywhere that said that it was available on EA Play, except for one press release from EA saying that it's going to be available on EA Access, as it was called at the time. And then something like 12 hours into the day, they just put it on there and went, now I just look like an impatient idiot.
There we go.
We've all been playing Squadron.
Yes. So, I mean, I've only had an opportunity to mess around in the single player campaign so far.
I have finished the single player campaign, but
I kind of quite like where they were going with it. It seems to be a very well put together, essentially tutorial mode for what the multiplayer is. For some reason, I'm really struggling with the controls. I don't know why. They seem to have. What's weird about it is that if you're playing on a controller, they seem to have made the default controls.
Yeah, rather than the aviator option.
Yeah.
Two greatest words in the English language.
But
default.
The way that kind of like the left trigger's mapped to lock on and right trigger to fire just doesn't seem to make a great deal of sense to what I would expect in essentially what's like kind of a space sim game. Where that kind of stuff tends to be mapped to the face buttons.
Space Sims is the Sims expansion for the Star Wars experience.
Amazing. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Love it. Sign me up.
So what's your problem with that? You're not liking lock-on being on L2?
Yeah, and I've tried remapping them, but I don't know. There's just something. I haven't found a good configuration that I like. I think I'm just so used to playing like No Man's Sky or Elite Dangerous, that kind of stuff. Where it almost feels for some functions there aren't quite enough buttons on the controller, and it'd be nice if there was a bit like they do in Elite Dangerous, where they almost have like kind of what they call cords of keys, yeah. Where you press a modifier down and then another button, and that kind of gives you extra functionality. And it almost feels like it needs that sometimes.
Yeah, the thing I'm really jealous of people with flight sticks and stuff have got actual switches that they can switch when and in corresponding to some of those sort of functions. And I think that would be really good. Maybe they could bring out a little kind of extension thing that just has four switches on it that you can use for that type of stuff.
A flight nubbin.
Yeah, but generally, like. I was a bit worried going in. Like, I've generally gone with the default controls and played through the whole campaign with that and found that to be serviceable. I was okay.
Wow, that's a ringing endorsement.
No. But, as in, I was fine with it, didn't really have a problem with it, apart from a few minor gripes. The one thing that I had difficulty with was just that I found when I was doing, like, other things, like shooting something rapidly, I'd accidentally do the boost at the same time and then end up boosting into the back of ships that I was supposed to be shooting or scanning or something. But yeah, like that boost is the one thing that I'll do accidentally when I don't mean to. Whereas the rest of the controls, I actually really like. Like, I think it, like, gameplay wise, it almost very deliberately gives you too much to do in the cockpit at any one time. Basically, if you're, did you just laugh at cockpit?
Really? No, I just laughed at Pitt.
Okay. but yeah,
honestly, you like, sicken me, Timothy.
A lot to focus on. One of the sort of major mechanics is, and I really like the way they've done this, and I really
do you still
like
need to bury it 6 feet deep if it's only 6 inches?
But the fact that you can have different power allocations, and you can allocate more power to weaponry or to your shields or to your engines, basically. Or you can just rebalance in between. And that's all done with the D-pads in the default controls. And I kind of like the way that works, and it feels very in keeping with the universe and very Star Wars, and works really well, I think. But on top of that, there's a few other things you can be doing, like the square button allows you to, in an Imperial ship, even further focus on control engines or weapons. And in a Rebel ship, you can focus your shields to the front or back. But there's a few other controls on top of that as well. And as I said, it gives you quite a lot to do, to the point where you have to kind of be multitasking while you're shooting things. Otherwise, you'll probably come a cropper sort of idea. But
I kind of think that's very obviously by design.
Yes, I think that works very well. Like, it makes you feel like you're a good part of an active part of the universe. And it's in keeping with the game. But it also means that, you've got lots of balls to juggle at once type of thing, and you'll probably drop one of those up at one time sort of idea.
Well, you know, there's always two ball pits next to the cockpit, I always find.
But as you said, I think the story does a really good job of introducing you to the different ships that you can have on both sides. Basically, it's taking place... Most of the story takes place post Return of the Jedi.
Except the intro.
There's a prologue that takes place 4 years before that, and then there's the kind of main story that takes place after that. It's in the place, as I said, Return of the Jedi, just after that. And you're playing from two different viewpoints, one as the
Wookiees.
Imperials that are kind of slightly crumbling.
They're minty.
With the Emperor gone, the Empire's slightly crumbling. And
it's technically you're not an Empire if you don't have an Emperor.
Exactly. And so the Imperials are kind of, not really certain of what they're doing. And then the other side of things is the New Republic, who are coming into power and looking to wipe out the Imperials as they do it. I don't want to spoil any details, but it basically tells the story of one person that defects from one side to the other. And I think it does a really interesting version of kind of reversing the story of New Hope. I don't want to go into too many spoilers other than that. But I think the gameplay is really good, and I've really, really enjoyed it. It's really lived up to my expectations, and my expectations were pretty high. But I think the story has exceeded my expectations. I think they did really well with not only having a credible story that runs throughout, but something that does a really good job of introducing you to each ship and just setting up enough of a reason for why you're there and giving it enough kind of background that it feels like it gives it more gravitas. I think it works really well.
Yeah, although I have to say, I did feel at the beginning, perhaps it's because I was faffing about trying to find a control scheme that actually worked for me, I actually almost felt it was chucking a bit too much at me in one go right at the very beginning. I just wasn't getting on with the controls particularly well, potentially. So
yeah, possibly. I don't know. I think it layers that in.
Leia, Luke and Leia, Star Wars.
Reasonably well. I think it's kind of
a well-paced story
that kind of
passes
out. No. Definitely hotter than lukewarm.
Right. May I jump in?
Yes.
Yes, give us a hand.
So, Tim, have you been playing
on... Sorry, I'm doing this solo.
Tim's jabbering on.
Have you been playing regularly, or have you been playing... Sorry, have you been playing flat screen, or have you been playing at VR?
I accidentally went flat screen for about 2 seconds. I was like, oh, what is this? No, yeah, like, generally, I've played the whole thing in VR. I think it probably looks a bit more graphically impressive when you're not, from what I've seen. But it is a fantastic VR game with one small caveat.
Right, and that caveat is? It's a trap.
The kind of scenes that are set in the hangars and that you get then go to briefings. Firstly, the briefings look really cool. Like with the, basically it puts up the kind of hologram in the middle and the reflections on everyone around the table just look awesome in VR. Like it worked, those scenes work really well and look really good. But, and I think it's something, and I don't entirely know the technical aspect of this being, but I think there seems to be a thing in VR where you can either go for something that looks good in motion, or you can go something with very high graphical fidelity, basically. There seems to be a trade-off between the two of those. And they've very definitely gone with the high graphical fidelity thing, and I can understand that considering most of the things are just conversations and briefings and stuff like that. And as I said, they look awesome. But it is at the expense of, basically, I tried to turn off click turning, as I normally do, and turn off all the vignettes and everything. And oh my word, no, ooh, it was horrible. Yeah, it really doesn't work very well. Don't turn off the click turning. Leave it on.
from what I've heard on the VR side of things, it is PlayStation VR that has the problem. A lot of the other headsets seem to be a lot better equipped for this game. But with the PlayStation, you either have the option of muddy graphics with really bad draw distances and skyboxes, or you have the slower, better looking game.
But as I said, that's just in the hangar bits and the, yeah, like, you know, the, okay, briefings and stuff. Like when you're actually in game, it looks fantastic. Well, it's still probably a little bit muddier than it is otherwise, and you might have a bit more difficult like picking things out. But as a VR game, like, and compared to other VR games, it looks fantastic. I think there's a few things that Eve Valkyrie does to a slightly higher standard in terms of, well, a few things it does differently and does really well that I can understand why Star Wars Squadron doesn't have in. Like, basically, the main thing I'm talking about there is, like, head-tracking weapons, particularly head-tracking missiles and things. That's something where, to make this game a thing where you can trade off and play against someone on a flat screen and have those people play against each other without giving someone in VR a significant advantage, you can't have that type of weapon, basically. And I think that's the reason why they decided to take out anyone that is on a flat screen. You can get some of the advantages you can on VR by pressing R3, I think. But then you can go into a free look to have a look round, which is something that you're able to do in VR anyway, basically. And some ships, that's better than others. Some of them have like glass floors that you can look through, and some have glass ceilings that you can look up in as well. And yeah, the cockpits of all of the ships are quite different, and sometimes they're like, some of the gauges are slightly annoyingly placed compared to where you're used to them being, especially as a game where you really have to keep an eye on some of your gauges or know, you know, whether your weapons are on full throttle or whether you've got stuff on engines and stuff. And so keeping track of that as you move from ship to ship can get a bit confusing at times. But yeah, like the actual cockpits and the way they're realized look really fantastic. The one thing I don't understand between the little demo game they put out last year in the X-Wing experience thing they put out and this, or maybe 2 years ago, was part of
Battlefront. Like, what, 4 years ago? 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the original Battlefront. It wasn't even Battlefront 2, wasn't it? Yeah, so whenever that was, a few years ago, the one thing I don't understand is you had a button to lock X-Wings into attack position. Like, you had a button for that in that, and you don't in this at all. And I'm like, okay, did you run out of buttons? Because
the answer to that is yes, they did, certainly.
Yes, but quite probably.
Yeah, I was interested how the VR stuff played out, because playing this on, because I've been playing the PlayStation version, but I've been playing it on my regular screen. I just haven't had time to set up the VR stuff. I was wondering how that played, because playing it as a regular game, and by all means, it's a £35 game. This isn't a full retail price game, so that, you know, it's not the full experience you might be expecting. This does feel to me like it is a VR game that has has been adapted to then work in a full screen environment, which kind of takes away from it because just because of the lineage of X-Wing TIE Fighter games on the PC way back when, you know, and it kind of takes elements from that as well, where those games you could divert power and stuff, but the way you did it...
And the developers knew about that game, obviously, and were well aware of it and put it into... Yeah, it spoke about it being a reference. And
for instance, the way you take the divert power to shields or weapons and stuff, you do it incrementally. You have to... It's like a proper balance. This, they kind of take that out and went, okay, this button, this button, this button, this button. It does it all in one hit or nothing, you know, that kind of thing. And as well, the... Yeah, so... You know, playing through the game, it is not the big space sim dogfighting simulator I was expecting. It seemed like a more simplified dogfighting experience, but they never said at any point this is a remake of
X-Wing, and I don't think it is, because I think the main multiplayer mode is going to be the fleet battle, basically. That's where they've spent a bit of time and stuff.
Yeah, and I've been playing more multiplayer, because if you get the EA Play version, you can only play through the tutorial, and then that's it. It's just multiplayer from then on, which is a bit of a cop-out, because they go, hey, you get 10 hours of this full game, except for most of the game.
so you get 10 hours of game.
Yeah,
that's a bit of a crock.
Bit of a dick move, but hey, I get FIFA 21. Anyway.
Hey, you lucky scamp.
Yeah, so playing through the tutorial, I didn't find it much to shout about. I had more fun in the multiplayer itself. But I wasn't enthralled by the beginnings of the story. It didn't really capture me, just in that I've only recently just played through Battlefront 2, which its story, if you remember, is someone defecting from the Empire to the Rebellion, and it's a similar kind of situation here. It's annoying.
Yeah, I just remembered I haven't played through that campaign. But anyway, yeah.
Fair enough.
I need to go back and do that at some point.
Decent campaign. They then added a DLC free update expansion for the rest of the story, and the rest of the story is not worth playing. But the original part is. It's unfortunate that it kind of follows on from this lineage of games where it seems like it should be taking over from this flight sim style of games, but instead it feels more like Rogue Squadron. You know, that kind of dumbed down flight simulator feel.
Yeah, I kind of am with you on that. Sometimes when I was playing, I almost felt like the team hadn't quite decided exactly really what they wanted it to be. It kind of feels like it's trying to be two things.
Well, I think it knows exactly what it wants to be, wears its heart on its sleeve quite a lot. It's not a full sim. It's almost, I don't know, like the crafts, the spacecrafts themselves feel, right, I like the feel of them, I'm prefacing that because it's going forward, it might sound like I don't.
I like spinning, that's a nice trick.
This feels like more like a kind of first-person shooter experience in a flight sim setting sim. You know what I mean? Like it's almost like you're just kind of rotating something as a first person shooter rather than like being a full on actual flight sim I think that makes it a more arcadey experience, which makes it exactly what I want.
Yeah, this is if you were to make a racing game out of this is more Need for Speed than it is Forza. It's exactly
some would argue that Forza's not really a sim anyway.
Fair enough.
But I think just what the disconnect is for me is that they're kind of trying to make a big deal of they've kind of got the HOTAS support, so that kind of hand, the throttled, separate throttle and stick, which you usually associate with kind of more sim type things.
to take Coleman's analogy and move it on slightly further, I don't think this is a difference of you. I think you were expecting this to be Forza Horizon. Forza, and it's actually Forza Horizon. Like it's a full on arcade, all out fun in the Star Wars universe. It is not you get to pilot a craft and go and fly things. It's not.
And again, I'm not knocking the game. I'm not saying it's a bad game. It's just not what I expected from... It's not as advertised to me. That's all.
Okay.
And I'm... Although I'm not enthralled by the story, I still... It's a Star Wars story. I will still want to play through the Star Wars story. It just means there's no urgency after this trial's done. I'm not in an urgent rush to go out and buy the full game. I'll wait till it hits a sale and... take it from there, I guess. But
and I'm interested. So you've been playing quite a bit of the multiplayer comp.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Oh,
I
suck at it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say I'm almost going to suck at it. How has, you know, because a lot of these competitive, like I'm just assuming it's a bit like a competitive shooter where your chance of coming across an arsehat is pretty high. How have you found the general denizens that you're sharing your Star Wars experience with?
There's two multiplayer modes at the moment. There's basically dogfights and dogfights with AI and big ships. And
right.
I go for dog, much like with Battlefront Online multiplayer, I go for dogfights with big ships and AI because that means if I'm shooting an AI, I feel better about myself.
You feel
myself.
Like you've done a thing.
It's like when they updated, what was it? It was Fortnite. They updated Fortnite probably about half a year ago now. And all of a sudden people are going, wow, I've got really good at Fortnite. And it's because they stuck a load of bots in the game and they didn't know. It's a bit like that feeling. So yeah, if I play just pure,
but I think that's quite good actually, because then you know it does feel that people contribute, because it can be they can be quite intimidating.
It's good in the sense of if you're getting experience from taking down bots, then like you're not going into a match and just feeling absolutely useless and not getting any reaping any reward whatsoever. When the big craw of the game playing on, you know, the big selling point of the game on multiplayer is unlock stuff. You unlock stuff, you unlock faces, you unlock ship customization and stuff. That's the stuff you want to unlock on multiplayer. And if you're not getting any experience points, if you're just going in and getting killed and not making any effort at all, then it's a pointless game.
But also, the game does such a good job of taking you through all the different elements of this craft. I literally can't imagine playing the multiplayer without having played all of the single player before. And also, it literally says that halfway, or like partway through the game, it says, right, we've opened up the multiplayer for you now, but we suggest you playing all the way through the single player so you get we get to show you everything, basically.
Yeah, okay. And it says that as soon as you boot up the game as well, to be honest with you. It does. I mean, the other thing I just want to touch on so with you guys is, so you've talked a little bit about how it looks and performance on the PS4. I found the PC performance to be really quite poor. It seems to be running at a, no matter what I do, a locked 30 frames a second.
Ooh.
I mean, it looks
on a PC?
Nice. On a PC, I know.
Heresy.
I actually, you know, did gouge out both my eyeballs with a spoon in protest.
Might as well just rub dirt into your eyes, Dan.
Yeah, I know, right?
It was dreadful.
It was dreadful. But
it's like Tim playing a game not in VR.
It's true.
Like, what's the point?
Exactly.
Well, me not playing Buster Groove.
But it's, I don't know, it's apparently quite a lot of people have had problems with PC performance online. I'm just a bit surprised considering that what kind of really would make this game feel great is kind of having, you know, aiming for 60 frames a second rather than the 30, because that really helped the space combat feel as fluid as it possibly can. So on the PlayStation, is there like kind of the trade-offs that you've increasingly seen between like how it looks and so prioritize looks or prioritize frame rate? Is there that on the PlayStation?
I don't know if there's that option because I haven't seen it. Usually they throw that straight at you, and I've not seen it in options or anything.
But to be fair, that's partly because it may be buried in the 85th page of options.
Don't start talking about menus.
Yeah,
don't do
but,
it.
No,
I will
but
end
there is
you.
Literally...
I will end you. I will end you.
I know, I was just talking about the options of stuff that you can customize in terms of the controls and stuff. Like, it's not just the buttons you can turn around and everything. There's, like, you can change the, like, dead zone of everything and, like, there's... so many different things you can change in the way it interacts with your pad and all that sort of stuff.
Come on, I don't have the heart to tell them that games have been like that for about 4.5 years now.
No, I have not seen a game that has this many options before,
really?
Like, ever. Yeah, in terms of
they do.
What
they
you
do,
can
mate.
Do.
You're getting distracted by the wrong bits on the menu.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
They are very nice looking menus, to be fair.
I love a menu.
Yeah.
Nicely styled.
So yeah, so I mean, I'll probably jump in to the multiplayer at some point. It's good that it's got crossplay, so maybe we ought to get my people in touch with your people.
The funny thing was, I saw a thing online, some video where they went, "Hey, if you don't want to play against PC players because they've got these cool flight control sticks and stuff, here's how you turn off playing with PC players." And then they go through the rigmarole of doing it, and then at the very end of the video, they go, "Oh, by the way, you can use flight sticks on PlayStation and Xbox as well."
Yeah.
So it just seemed like a really weird thing to do.
But I've also heard more than one person say that they, and it may be their lack of like time with the flight stick, but the flight sticks actually makes it harder to control, even with the extra buttons and stuff that help you out.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
I like it.
The only other thing just to say about Star Wars Squadrons, that is the game we've been blathering on about. I hear that this is a bit of a one and done deal with EA, that there's no planned port to next gen, no DLC plan.
I thought they'd already announced that this was going to get a next gen upgrade.
And I don't care.
No, exactly. Star Wars Squadrons will not get an update for next gen consoles.
Oh, but that's really upsetting.
Backwards compatibility,
so it'd be
probably
a back compat version.
Yeah, okay. But I hoped it would get upraised a bit for PSVR. But that's a shame.
What if in the PlayStation teardown video, like, he opened it all up and there was a tiny little TIE fighter?
I kind of hoped that we might get some after support for this, though, in terms of like other ships.
After support.
I love that after support.
Whatever, like something coming after
quality of after support.
I love support. But yeah, I was hoping we might like at least get some more ships. Like, I would have thought there would be a couple more ships that might add in, maybe, but we'll see. And maybe
I would like the stealth TIE fighter from I've completely forgotten the name of the game. It blanks me. It was really bad anyway. It doesn't matter.
Okay, that's not good then.
It was basically a TIE fighter that turned invisible.
But yeah, I finished the single player, and I'm now... The one technical thing I found that was...
Rebel Assault 2.
Rebel Assault. One thing I found that actually had a technical problem is the tutorial for the fleet battles mode. That didn't work properly.
Oh.
Like, as in, I had repeated problems with, things not working and not destroying themselves and stuff like that. But I to the point where I can't actually clear the tutorial and I've had to quit it a couple of times.
Did you try putting it on novice mode?
That's probably it.
It's probably that.
But yeah, I think I'm just going to go straight in and play some multiplayer now that I've finished the single player. But single player's got some replay value with the extra medals and stuff that you can get for getting through in a certain time.
I love medals.
And bobs. Yeah.
They do a cool ceremony where you walk up and Chewbacca doesn't get one.
No, unfortunately, no medals for Chewbacca. But
balls.
That's a crap scene.
But there's some really enjoyable levels of just like the stuff you're actually doing when you're flying around, stuff that I want to replay and replay through just because it was enjoyable to play, not because of the actual kind of reward of medals or other things coming with it. But yeah, like I really enjoyed playing through the game to the point where I'm going to play through it again
play some multiplayer as well. What do you need to explode?
Instead
about
of
Colman?
The scene where they get their medals from A New Hope, do they do the one from Phantom Menace so you can be boss?
Oh yeah, when they go again. I forgot that scene existed. That's even worse.
I love Brian Blessed.
God.
Shall we call it an
I think we should call it a podcast.
Yeah,
right there.
Okay. That was Star Wars Squadrons.
Certainly was.
Mixed feelings, I think. But
I
had strong feelings.
It's pretty inoffensive. I think that's how I can sum up. It's pretty inoffensive.
I think it's a fine game, and it's at a fine price, and it's not what I expected, but that's all on me, I guess.
Yes, because it's what I expected, and I love it.
So I'll try again in VR.
Yeah. Oh, do that, because it's a different game in VR, and I'm not just saying that to...
Well, again, feels like a good VR game that I wasn't playing in VR.
Yes.
Basically.
Come play in VR and be happier.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we do the ending bits?
Let's
do the ending bits.
Okay.
Timothy, you're up first.
Am I?
Is he?
if you want to do a Gosh update.
Yeah, isn't there a Gosh update this week?
Well, I hope to have some more details. I don't think I can necessarily say something. Oh, no.
Timothy, you tease.
It's like 3 weeks of teasing.
Teasing.
Yeah, I know, right?
But yeah, let's just say I've seen something exciting that people will get to see soon. That's all I will say for now. But yeah.
Would that basically be news?
I will try and check on this week so that I can let you know when I can let you know.
Wow, that
I can't
is like
say
an
much
announcement
more on that
for an
for
announcement.
I will let you know but when I can let
when
you
I can
know.
Let you know.
Wow.
If you know what I mean.
And then I'll do the let you know tease before I give you the let you know trailer, which will tell you
meantime,
when I can let you know.
Yeah, in the meantime, get in now while the going's good. And anyone that doesn't know, we're promoting at Geek Out for Gosh. Go follow them on Twitter and Facebook and other social media things, or just go check out the Great Ormond Street Hospital webpage, and there's some stuff on Geek Out for Gosh on their fundraising pages as well. It's a way to help fundraise some money for Children's Hospital. Obviously, never a bad time to be raising money for them, but an extra good time for doing stuff for hospitals now, because it's obviously a hard time not only for hospitals, but also for fundraising for hospitals as well.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
This is a way you can do your own streaming and raise some money, or just support someone that is. Go check out the details there. And as I said, we'll have more details coming soon. But you can get in at the ground floor now. Get in before all the cool kids do. And you can say you're even cooler than the cool kids. So there you go.
I mean, I am pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Going to do that.
Good.
And we should also probably mention... because it's coming around to that time of year again, that Extra Life is coming up.
Yeah,
Extra Life.
Yeah, so...
Extra Life.
Follow Extra Life and go to extralife.org to check out some information from them. Gosh.org is Gosh's website as well.
Yep.
So go to either of those.
At Krellif to tweet at Kev to tell him to update the Extra Life song to 2020.
Yes, yep. Please.
Good. Community feedback. We've got some of those. So if you've liked listening to this show and you think, hold on, I'd like to get involved with this here Big Red Barrel UK podcast, you can do so on our comments section on bigredbarrel.com, on Discord, which the link is available on bigredbarrel.com, Facebook and Twitter at bigredbarrel.com, and YouTube, Big Red Barrel TV. We have got a few comments from Twitter. Matt at @M317. Uh-huh. He says, I have a question.
Good.
With the PS5 teardown, we are able to get a real idea of the size. Seeing
the
how big it is.
Size.
Massive, absolute unit.
PS5
seeing how big
Zilla.
It is, does that change where you planned on having the console? Also, are you going vertical or horizontal?
My console hasn't been made yet, because I have no intention to buy one until next year.
If it fits in the unit, it will go vertical. If it fits on top, probably vertical.
Vertical on top. I think I'm going to move where my PSVR headset is at the moment, which is just next
on your head.
And put the PS... you can
so
literally
hot.
See that is currently not on my face. Anyway, I think I'm going to move that and put that where it is, so that's going to be on top of my kind of unit. But then I might see if it can fit lengthways in the top kind of area where I've got my TV at the moment. I'm not
it's
sure.
difficult because having it sideways and putting it in a unit, I don't know whether or not there'd be enough airflow around it, is
sure
the other
about.
Thing too.
But I do have an air-cooled shelf that it can sit on. So.
Oh, why have you got an air-cooled shelf,
you
weirdo? You
haven't even got technology that works.
Because I went through a bajillion Xbox 360s and I took all measures I could to stop them freaking melting, so I actually built a shelf
cooled
by my
so
chimney.
Annoyed.
And has an extra fan to cool it down even more.
Look, Tim, you know, I have no intention to throw you under
that
the bus.
That was genuine
here,
rage.
But I think me and Coleman can both attest that you didn't really try everything to stop electronics dying in your house. Just saying. Right. There's another question.
Yes. Phil at the Movie Monkey. He says, hi, what game should Donald Trump be forced to play?
I am torn between two things.
Like Natalie Imbruglia.
Oregon
Don't like
Trail.
That, but less lying naked
Oregon
on the floor.
Oregon Trail?
That I think he should either be forced to play Fallout 76 just as an intervention.
Oh, that's good.
Or he should be forced to play The Matrix online, but no one tell him that it's been offline for 11 years and just watch him rage at trying to start the game. I think that would be hilarious.
I like it. Tim?
I don't know. I'm trying to think something like a children's counting thing. Like, let's go right back to the beginning and try and educate him to start with, because he hasn't been educated at all.
What about frog fractions?
Frog fractions. Is it like Oregon Trail, the one that all the bloody American kids play in school?
Yeah.
Let's go. Something like that. Something for children and for idiots to try and make him understand the world a bit better.
Jeez, all right. Calm down.
Considering he did his thing against video games, was that last year where he put the collage? Well, I don't think he actually put the collage together on his cool Twitch streaming channel. They put out a video of violence in video games, but all the games were like really old.
Yes.
So I'd like to sit him down with a nice copy of Mortal Kombat 11 and perform that one Shang Tsung fatality that made me have to put down the controller and take a break from video games for a day or so.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
show some real violence.
But you'll also find that because of that era, at least Donald Trump wouldn't steal a car. He wouldn't steal. I've got a feeling.
I'd like any American politician, I'd like to make them actually play Night Trap so they can see how horrible and violent it actually was.
That will put you off, ever wanting to kidnap anyone or anything.
Well, it put you off going, why did we put age ratings on games again over this?
Well, you know what? I mean, I'm just glad that they're getting to the crux of the problem and not getting diverted by this silly stuff that incites people to violence. Like, I don't know, being able to buy assault rifles or anything like that.
Yeah.
Now.
It's not the assault rifle that kills someone. It's someone that accidentally played COD and then...
It's Coleman moving to America and getting hold of an assault rifle.
Yep.
What's this do? over on the Discord, Rago says, two questions.
Hey, Rago.
Two questions. It's greedy.
He says, how do you comment on the heat issues with the Xbox Series X and what is your take on AAA titles being early... try it again. On a AAA title being early access for €60. So we'll start with the Xbox Series X heat issues. I have no idea about this. This is the first I'm hearing.
I wouldn't be surprised if it does run a little on the toasty side.
Toasty!
But I think we probably need to wait until it's in kind of like real world usage to get an idea of how big of an issue that might be. It wouldn't be the first time Xbox have had issues with heat, let's face it.
I cannot ever see them making that mistake again. In fact,
it costs them so much money.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if the shape of this console was half or more influenced exactly by this issue and by trying to circumnavigate this issue.
If I had one, I would personally use it as somewhere to, if I didn't have a PS5 to keep my Wrigley Spearmint gum warm in its convenient little gum tray, I'd just nestle it next to my Xbox. That's what I'd do.
Yeah.
Can you use it as a warming footstool?
Yes, you could.
Ooh.
In which case, that might be a good thing.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the second question.
So the second one, basically, there's an early access version of Baldur's Gate 3 that went out, and it's £50. And usually early access games are a bit more discounted for that.
Well, it all depends what the RRP for games going forward is going to be, since it looks like games are very soon going to get hiked to an RRP. I realise that's not necessarily the price you will end up paying. But get a hike from £60 to £70. That seems pretty inevitable. So I don't know whether or not they're getting ahead of that. I mean, I haven't seen what Baldur's Gate 3, what kind of state it's in. But yeah, that's a big ask for taking a bit of a punt on something that might not be finished for a while.
I don't buy early access games anymore. I go for them on subscription, or if someone I know personally goes, this is really good, you should jump on and play with me, then I'll probably jump in. And so I might have to ask Kev if it's any good.
I don't early access anything ever, generally. Anyway,
yeah.
But yeah, like, even if I did, I don't quite understand the issue here. It's still cheaper than it the RRP for next gen? No?
Maybe.
I just think...
Am I missing something?
You are front... I think the issue is you are front-loading them cash with an expectation they're going to deliver, and yes, there's no guarantee that they will deliver that final product. All I will say is just point a finger at Star Citizen and just say, well, people have been getting away with that for donkey's years.
People have been funneling money into that for years, and
there's still no sign of it ever being finished.
But there's people happy, and yeah, they've not even bothered to finish the game. So
is there still a real-time ticker on their website that shows how much money that game's made?
It's a disgusting amount.
Yeah. I don't understand why people... Some people are so invested that they feel they have to carry on investing to actually get something out of the end of it. But I don't know. Like, I can't see why else you'd stick around and be happy with it. I don't know. It may be an entirely serviceable, playable game these days. Who knows? But yeah, I don't trust early access. I was thinking this today as well. Like, I don't ever back anything on Kickstarter that's a video game related. I still back board game stuff, but not video game
stuff. Have you finally worked out that the whole Ouya thing was a bad idea then, Tim?
Well, no, I don't mean so much in hardware. I might do that again at some point, but I mean software-wise. Like, I don't back any game because, like, you know it's going to be 2-3 years away from when you invest, and I don't like having that money so divorced from when I put it in, you know, when I spent it, basically. I don't like that period of time. And like you say, it might never come off, and I feel like I don't trust it more with video games than I do with board games, even though I've had it happen to me with a board.
Yeah, we both backed a board game that ended up getting, well, it's not even officially cancelled. The guy just shut his website and buggered off. So there's some stuff going on there.
It did, yeah, sort of shutter the company that was behind it as well, which was unfortunate because they made good games. But
I stopped you again, the same as the early access thing. I just stopped using Kickstarter as well. I got burnt too many times on it.
Really?
So I've
backed a few board games that are still on their way. One that you're
a big board game guy anyway, so it makes sense.
I also backed a bag, but you know,
okay.
It's for cycling and it's got like lights and stuff on the back. So
well done,
yeah. I can make you one of those. All I need is a hot glue gun, some Christmas lights, and a 9-volt battery. And mate, let's talk. We could make millions.
Sounds perfectly safe.
Yeah, right. It is.
Last one on Discord, Skydark, as he tends to do, he says, I have a question.
Marvelous.
What DLC expansion do you think was better than the main game, Dan?
Destiny, the Taken King.
Ooh. That was
mine. Anything was better than the main game there, wasn't it?
But that fits this question. I'm not saying you're wrong, okay? I'm not saying you're wrong, but it was a real kind of grassroots up redo of the game. So I think for that kind of fits the bill quite nicely there.
Yeah, you may have stolen my answer there, Dan, so I've got to think of another one. Tim.
See, I was trying to think of one, but I could give you one, Coleman.
Hey!
I think you might agree with this, like, but yeah, the extra characters from Mortal Kombat.
Yes, Rambo just got announced today.
Rambo just got announced today, which is why I thought that would be relevant.
I would have preferred Rocky, but okay, Rambo, fine, whatever.
Yeah, fine.
Same, kind of the same character.
Kind of works. But yeah, like, I'm trying to think of one for myself here, and I can't think of anything.
I will say Street
not
Fighter.
Often I pick up DLC.
Street Fighter V Arcade Edition, because that actually meant that they put Blanka in the game.
Yeah, but I still haven't upgraded to that because I got the free version and they didn't do the championship thing. And I think the upgrade pack was like £15 or something. And I was like...
I've rarely been impressed by an actual expansion that's made me go, wow, this is way better than the original game that it's expanding. It's a rarity that's happened for me.
Yeah, see, I think the last expansion stuff I bought was the Spider-Man stuff, and I played through like a third of it and never went back to it.
Wasn't as good as the, yeah.
Yeah, and this was like, oh, this is more of the bits that weren't as good from the first time round. But yeah, like, I don't know. That's one thing I'm looking forward to going back and playing that. I'm really looking forward to the Miles Morales part of the Spider-Man thing coming up as well, like on PS5.
That's an expand alone, cheeky minx.
But I don't know. I kind of think often the expand alone things can work out quite well. in terms of, you know, the size of content they do and other stuff. Like, what was the was it Infamous that did that before as well?
Oh, the Second Son stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
Second Son
was the sequel. It was the something to do with Light.
First Light is the expand-alone for Second Son.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Indeed. But yeah, like, I don't know. I think they're... Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of much good DLC, generally. A lot of it just seems to...
You can't think of much, yet you've been speaking for 5 hours about DLC.
Yeah, it's an incredible
skill, Tim.
I mean, yeah, RoboCop in Mortal Kombat 11's pretty badass.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, Rambo's... Okay, I guess. Anyway, we've got questions for the audience because Tim wants to know. He wants suggestions for TVs for the next gen.
Yeah, because there's one I've been looking at and it's just dropped in price by like £200. Basically.
All I will say, Tim, and there are other retailers out there who do tend to pay tax a little bit more regularly, allegedly.
Yes.
For those of you who are Amazon Prime members and you're in the market for anything new technological, in terms of a TV, anything like that, there is Amazon Prime Day coming up. So it might be a good idea to have a look at what might be available and see if they show up on deals, because there often are very deep discounts. I realise a number of people, you know, quite rightly have issues with purchasing from Amazon. Completely understand that. But for those of you who are happy shopping with Amazon, it's probably worth waiting till that.
So what I was going to suggest is the listeners, you for us, your suggestions of TVs, we'll go off and inspect and we'll collect our information for next week's show and get back to you on that, and you get back to us on that, and it'll all be great.
I don't know about you guys, just one thing I want to throw in there. I probably am getting priced out of buying an 8K TV, but seems fairly pointless at the moment anyway, no?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
There is no sense getting an 8K TV.
Well, just if I'm going to invest some money at the moment, like I always, you know, kind of want to future-proof it as much as possible, but hey.
Well, but yeah, you're realistically not going to get hardware that can take full advantage of 8K for at least another 7 or 8 years, really.
I'd buy that for $1.
Yes, that, but 5,000 times over.
I've got a question of my own for the listeners as well.
Mm-hmm.
With the announcement of Rambo being added to Mortal Kombat 11, do you have any favourite random guest characters that have been added to games in the past? Get back to us. Let us know on Discord, Twitter, or Facebook. At Big
or, who is a character that you would like to see randomly added in to a video game franchise?
There you go. That's three questions. We've all given one.
One each.
There's
your homework, kids.
Dan, wrap up.
I almost tried to go into rap there. I'm very glad I didn't.
Don't do it, Dan.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Stay away from the mic.
I'm not sure if Coleman's having an asthma attack or trying to play a harmonica. It's a bit unclear. Anyway, yes. So thank you ever so much for listening. As Coleman's already said, there's lots of places on the internet to find us. Go do them. Do say hello on Discord because it's getting increasingly active over there with people, you know, doing Destiny raids. Coleman's trying to make people play Marvel's Avengers. It's a really nice community over there, and people just a lot of nice back and forth. So come along, say hello. But really, we've got to wrap this show up. Apart from the fact, Colm's got a digit extended.
Sorry, I just remembered as well. And if you could give us a review on either Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Podchaser, or Stitcher, that would be lovely. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm, marvelous. Mm-hmm. It really does help. Really does help. So thank you for listening. And all that really is remaining for us to do is to remind you that I have been Dan.
I may have been Tim.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I have strapped a PlayStation 5 to my eyes and the thoughts that it was going in place of my PlayStation VR.
Good. Marvellous. You probably wanted. That's why we need telly advice, because Coleman actually needed to strap two tellies to his face rather than the consoles. So there we go. Easy mistake to make. Anyway, thank you for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
Quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.